But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wake up! Jesus is here. Your knight in shining armor, your prince, with the breastplate of righteousness, your Savior is here. He brings forgiveness for your sins, rescue from demonic forces, and resurrection for you, the dead. Awake, arise, and meet him as he speaks to you his word of life, restoring and renewing you. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's the specific catechesis that Jesus has for his disciples as they listen attentively to him at his favorite place to pray, the Mount of Olives. This is not on the night he was betrayed, but maybe about a week before. They asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" These disciples, maybe like us, don't want to be caught off guard. They want to be wide awake and ready for the day of judgment. They want to be able to watch the world's times and seasons and events and know what they mean. They don't want to be caught blindsided when everything goes sideways on that final day. What they hope for from Jesus is some kind of secret knowledge to be revealed to them. And then they would have a new paradigm to understand themselves and all the things happening in the world. And Jesus doesn't disappoint them. He enlightens their minds with a rich tapestry of interwoven parables and promises for two whole chapters, drawing together the Scripture's themes and imagery and prophecies about the last day. Two chapters of Matthew's Gospel, 24 and 25, are this tour de force of catechesis on the last days. We only heard a brief snippet of it. Remember, it started with the question, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus finally answers that question specifically and directly in his conclusion, which is the beginning of chapter 26. There the evangelist records, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.'" What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Is it all the doom and gloom of apocalyptic judgment that we've heard about these last few Sundays and Wednesdays? Well, yes, it is. But all of those prophetic promises focus on one Friday afternoon from about noon till 3. The Son of Man delivered up to be crucified. Jesus warned them ahead of time. And as lightened as they now are about the coming days of judgment, they all fall away when the sign is given that he spoke of. Christ's coming is at hand, and yet they fail to see it. Only John and the women stand at a distance, but Peter and the rest have forsaken him on that day of judgment. They saw the signs in the sun, moon, and stars. They felt the fear and the foreboding of those days. They shook in terror as the earth quaked and the tombs were broken open. And yet they didn't see it when it came. Even Jesus' simple message to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation, even that went unheeded on the night he was betrayed. Despite the catechesis and really simple direction of the parable, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming," they still all fell asleep just a few days later when the day began on the night he was betrayed, that day of Good Friday. While Jesus prayed in anguish on the same Mount of Olives and under the weight of his office as the Passover lamb, they all slumbered and slept. They failed in such a simple task, just to stay awake. And so no wonder that we too fail to remain awake attentive and vigilant for the day of his coming. We always act as if there is a tomorrow when there's no such promise. Here are Jesus' word and gifts for your life and salvation. Here is the oil for your lamp. So wake up and watch. Maybe if you're like me, you also caught that language of being awake has gotten a bit confused in our context. Today, that the confusion about what we're waiting for, what we're watching for, has been co-opted, distorted, and disfigured by idolizing pagans, taking Jesus' term about being awake and to wake up with their disfigured term, woke. Today, to be awake is, well, it's an adjective for those who are alert and concerned about the real apocalyptic event, which is social injustice and systematic discrimination. We are being told that those who are not woke or awake are blind to the real history of our nation. If you're not woke, you can't see the systematic failures that have been in front of us all along. You don't really know what is happening because you live a life in your own enclave and silo, blissfully unaware of the reality of the world around you. It's another kind of apocalyptic preaching. Of course, no one can really know, see, or believe unless someone comes outside of them and tell them the real history, to show those injustices previously hidden, to overcome all the systematic discriminations that have been baked into our culture and are considered normal. So, they need to be awakened by secret wisdom so that they can refer to themselves in the past tense, woke, as if they were woke passively from their long slumber, from their sleep. It's a co-opting of Jesus' own language, of the language of the Scriptures, to be used, well, for personal gain and to address social ills. And this woke cult is just as apocalyptic as Jesus. Unless people are woke, pervasive injustice and discrimination will finally bring about the end of the minority races, of the enlightened people, of freedom-loving nations. Of course, there's no need for God in this conversation because we are gods and masters of our collective destiny. We have our own prophets of doom and a priestly class who need donations to keep their nonprofit action organizations running. Call them churches if you want. We can overcome if only we finally wake up, do what must be done, wage war against our enemies, including our own ancestral heritage and all our personal biases. So as good as it is to work to overcome social injustice and discrimination, of course, through political action and cultural efforts, no problem there, turning it into a cult with churches and priests and prophets, it never quite gets the job done. And it frankly is trying to subvert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No apocalyptic preaching, no apocalypse of our own making can usher in the utopia that we hope for. These efforts to wake people up and give them really just another opiate to appease their conscience, it never really addresses or gives any kind of lasting resolution to the root cause of social injustice and discrimination. But even these woke proclaimers know that the change that they're looking for needs to come from the outside, passively received. No one knows that they are asleep until they're woken up. But these naively think of themselves as superior and capable of effecting the needed change to overcome the way that sin has broken out in this world. And yet, no amount of human action can correct the human heart. And that's where they're deceived. What Jesus has for you is something far greater and better than what these apocalyptic preachers have been saying. What Jesus has for you, no imagination could envision. None of our minds could ever engineer. No heart can really long for, and no words can really articulate. The prophets Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, and others struggle to articulate what God gave them to see of the heavenly dwellings, of the new heavens and the new earth. Even John the Revelator is given to see in light of Christ, and maybe has a more complete vision, and yet, even his Spirit-given vision, well, is beyond comprehension, describes things in ways that still baffle the imagination. What Jesus promises to us is no lame heaven like those of the woke agitators or even our globalist tyrants of one government and one world. These people really just want a change of management, but not really a correction of the human heart, because they deny the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the change of heart that he gives. What that means then is actually you, the faithful of God, are the truly woke, who have been awakened to faith by Jesus through his word and spirit. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2. You see, even now by faith, the new heavens and the new earth opened up before you. You are gathered with people from every nation, language, and tribe, all discrimination and injustice set aside, as you are before the throne of God. The angels and archangels and all the heavenly host sing with you a new song, the song of the Lamb. And so we proclaim our love for Christ Jesus, who is our bridegroom, who is the one who tears down every wall of division, and does so through his blood-bought forgiveness. And we respond with confession and psalms and hymns. So wake up. Jesus is here. The bridegroom who was delayed is coming. Go out to meet him. He brings forgiveness for your sins, rescue from the demonic forces, and resurrection from the dead. That's what it means to be truly awake. So awake, arise, and meet him as he comes and speaks his word of life to restore and renew you. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And remain awake, attentive and vigilant for the day of his coming. Jesus' word and gifts are here for your life and for your salvation. Awake. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.